Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 26 of a year-long conversation. Today, we're going to be talking about guns. Joining me, as always, is Blue in Alabama's Michael. Michael, are you ready to talk about one of the biggest hot-button issues that's out there right now?
I'm ready. I'm all for the Second Amendment.
This is going to be the first of a three-part series. We're going to talk about guns, immigration, and then abortion. This is what I call a GIA, and it really lets me know kind of how liberal or conservative somebody is. I think it's a great scale because these are kind of issues that bring out people's values. It's not really things that I think about on a daily basis, but I think that these kind of show people's values, and it's a great indication of what do you care about. And I know, like, for me, I'm able to look at it and be like, I'm probably the most conservative on guns, probably of any issue. And then when it comes to immigration, center left, so like mostly liberal, but not quite where Jorge Ramos is. And then when it comes to abortion, very liberal, and probably even more than Democrats in general. Just in that one scale, you can kind of see like where somebody falls.
I would agree with that. I would say I'm almost the opposite of you on guns. I'm probably the most liberal on guns. Abortion, I'm pretty liberal on too, but I guess I'll wave the liberal flag in this podcast.
That's fine. And then comes to immigration, I think we all know your feelings about people from Tennessee. Can't stand to be around.
Exactly.
But guns are a really good thing to talk about this week because we're in between Father's Day and the 4th of July. Really perfect timing to talk about guns because the 4th of July, people associate guns with freedom in America.
Yeah.
I'm not really going to make that argument. Like, I am going to make a pro-gun argument, but I'm not really going to go the Second Amendment route with it, which I think that's where most of the argument takes place, is in this quicksand of what did the Founding Fathers intend, and of course the way the law was written is like they have a right to form a militia, and then liberals always say, but an AR-15, that's not really it. The Founding Fathers meant like musket balls and things like that, and then conservatives always counter with, yeah, but those were the weapons at the time, and they meant for private citizens to have the weapons of an army at that time. And you kind of go in a big legal circle jerk, which that's Congress's job. They're supposed to do that, and so I could see where Ted Cruz and Nancy Pelosi, they could go round and round and round about exactly what the Second Amendment meant. We can talk about that a little bit, but to me, that's not really where the argument is. That's where it has to be for Congress, but I think I can make a more compelling argument by kind of avoiding the legalities of it and just kind of talk more about the common sense of it. Every couple of weeks, there's a mass shooting in America. We talked about Orlando briefly last week. We can talk about it a little bit more this week. Only a couple of days ago, we had where Congress, they were thinking about how to pass gun control that Republicans will say yes to, which I don't know that you're going to be able to.
Yeah, I don't either.
But kind of explain a little bit about what these bills were going to be through Congress. And, of course, Republicans, they responded positively to them, right? I mean, they wanted them, right?
Absolutely. That's why they voted for them, almost unanimous. So the first bill was to basically stop anyone that's been on the terrorist watch list in the last 5 years for being able to buy a gun. And, of course, that one failed. I think there was one Republican that came over and supported it. Kelly Iode.
She's up for, like, a pretty close re-election fight this year. That may have had a lot to do with it because she's one of the seats that the Democrats hope to take this year.
The second bill, which also failed, was Democrats had placed to try to ban gun sales at online purchases or at these big conventions where they sell guns at, and that failed as well. The Republicans actually countered with a bill of their own where they said that anyone on the terrorist watch list, they have to wait 3 days before they are allowed to purchase the gun, and in those 3 days, the FBI should basically get enough evidence to present a case that the person is going to commit terrorism to the judge to stop the sale. And Democrats argued, obviously, you know, they would never support that because they said if there is enough evidence to prove that someone was going to commit terrorism, then they were going to be arrested. They have proof that they're going to commit terrorism. They have grounds to arrest. So that failed too.
Yeah.
Which, to me, I think if anything, Democrats should have jumped on that just to say that we got something passed. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we're living in an era where on the surface, Democrats would be like, all right, here's what we want to do. We want to ban AR-15s. Fuck you. Okay, here's what we want to do. We want to ban somebody buying 5 AR-15s in a 5-day period. Fuck you. Okay, here's what we want to do. We want to ban people on the terrorist watch list from buying guns. No.
Yeah.
On the surface of it, when you look at it like, we want to ban people on the terrorist watch list from buying assault rifles, the opposition says no to that. I mean, there's not people really out there with like placards being like, let them blow us up. Let them blow us up. let them gun us down, let them gun us down. I mean, there's not really like a pro, like terrorists buying assault rifles lobbying group. Their conservative argument, and I understand it, is that when we think about the terrorist watch list, it's an enormous database. I think there might be over 1 million people on it. So I think that's what they're worried about, is that it's too broad. But I noticed that nobody makes the counter argument of, well, maybe we should take some of these people off the list, right? But nobody says maybe we should cut this list in half, maybe we should do something to get these numbers down. And you won't see Democrats make that argument either, because nobody is really in favor of cutting that list down. If you ever get rid of people on that list and one of them does something wrong, it's somebody's ass. They would rather inconvenience a few hundred thousand people, because it is an inconvenience. You can't do certain things. It's like comes up whenever you credit and jobs and things like that. Whenever you want to book airplane travel, like there's all these different things that it comes up during. And it inconveniences hundreds of thousands of people who have absolutely no connection to terrorism. And some people just have a similar name, or there was a mix up, or there's just usually some error that goes along with it. And so they'd rather inconvenience those people than cut the list in half and there'd be one of them that does something.
Yeah.
And they could say, oh, you knew about this. Should have done something. When I saw a lot of Republicans talk about the Orlando shooting, it was interesting that like a week before that, they were talking about the gay lifestyle and how to get transgender people out of the bathroom at Target and all this stuff. And then when the shooter does it, this is a clear sign that Islam does not respect homosexuality. This is a clear sign of how people don't respect homosexual values.
Yeah.
And all this. Oh, so now Ted Cruz, he's the defender of gay and lesbian rights. And like a week before that, he was talking about, not, he was talking about shooting them in the face, but he was talking about they shouldn't really be allowed to leave the house without it being a crime and stuff. So, I mean, it's interesting that the Republicans have now become the defenders of the LGBT community because they're trying to stop the terrorists from killing them. And I'm like, yeah, but you're trying to hurt gay people in different ways. It's just kind of funny that now a lot of the Republicans are like, we were the ones who stood up for you this time. I'm like, really?
Well, you know, I mean, see, maybe the Republicans just don't want terrorists invading their target.
They're just like, hey, dude, we were hating on gay people way before you showed up. You assholes got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Like right after 9/11, Theo Hughley said, black people and white people have been hating each other for millenniums. We'll be damned if somebody new is going to come in here. So when it comes to like guns specifically, and this is one of those issues that like I don't talk about it that much on Alabama Liberal, because a lot of people who are liberal, they really disagree with me about this, and that's okay. All I'm hoping for is as we get into it and we really get to the meat of it, I hope people keep listening. I hope they don't turn it off. I hope they don't say I don't want to hear this. I hope they try to hear what I'm saying, because as many arguments as you've heard about gun control before, you've not heard what I'm going to tell you. So when it comes to a lot of issues, like I can't tell you what it's like to be a black woman. I can't tell you what it's like to be gay. I can't tell you what it's like to be these things. But when it comes to guns, I think I have a lot more experience with it. I know I have a lot more experience with it than like John Oliver, just for one example, or Katie Couric. I know I've got more experience with it than 95% of liberals who would talk about guns.
Yeah.
And I think that there's the fear that a lot of liberals have about guns because they didn't grow up in a gun culture. Even some that did grow up in a gun culture may have fear about certain types of guns. I've used this example before when I moved to New York, because I lived there before. I would go on dates, and I mean, there would be a girl on a date, they'd be like, if I saw a gun, I would piss myself. Or I'd be like, if I saw a gun, I would freak out. Or if a guy told me he owned a gun, I would run from him. And if you tell him, he'd be like, well, I don't have them here in New York, but I had some in Alabama or whatever, I used to own them. They'd be like, why did you have them, and who did you kill? Like, who did you buy them to kill? And I'm like, I didn't kill anybody, and I didn't buy them to kill anybody. Never really entered my mind or whatever. And they're like, so you bought them, and you were going to kill somebody, but you didn't kill them? And I'm like, no, they had nothing to do with killing anybody. They're like, well, you bought them to hunt with. I don't approve of hunting. And I'm like, I've never been hunting before. People can go hunting if they want to, but it's not really my thing. Like, I've got an AR-15 and the radar to find Bambi. Like, a deer's out there shooting in the woods, and I've got, like, a radar to find them. And some hunters have, like, doe urine. They spray the doe urine, the pheromones. Like, some hunters are too lazy to stalk the deer. They hide up in the tree, and they spray a shitload of, like, female doe urine to draw the male bucks to them. They're like, I'm just going to sit here and eat a Domino's pizza, and the deer's going to come to me, and I'm going to blast it with this AR-15, spraying the forest with bullets. To me, it never felt anywhere remotely fair. It's not a fair fight, and I just don't really, I don't see the enjoyment in it, really. And I know people that have owned farms and chicken houses and things like that, like they specifically grow animals to kill, and a lot of the country's meat comes from North Alabama. Alabama. A lot of the country's chicken and stuff like that. Most of the chicken you eat frozen comes from either Arkansas or North Alabama.
Yeah.
So we know a little bit about that. But I think growing up in a gun culture, so people say things like, well, you wouldn't understand until you've been a shooting victim. Well, I've been shot before. Mowed, I was shot in the back. The bullet went through me. Luckily, it didn't cause any paralysis or organ damage. I was very fortunate, very lucky. If it had been another couple of inches to the right, I would have died. It would have hit my heart or my lung. I would have been killed. And when I tell people that, and they say, so how can you still not support getting rid of guns or serious crackdown on handguns and things like that? And I'm like, well, I don't really think the guy who shot me bought it legally. I think he's like, you know what I need to do? Go into Dick's Sporting Goods and see if I can pick up that new. I don't get the sense that he didn't buy it legally. That was my sense of the whole scenario. And I have to admit, like, just talking about personal experience and going into the past about it, the first gun I bought, I was 17. I didn't buy it legally. I didn't have a permit. I didn't have a license. I was too young to buy a handgun. I bought it anyway. And I threw out, like, the years or whatever, I bought more guns, none of them legally. The way people in New York think about legally is like, okay, here's my three forms of ID. Here's my license. Here's my registration. And then in Alabama, legally is like, are you a citizen? Yes, here's your gun. It wasn't that hard to buy one, but nothing happened. People would hear a story like that, and they would say, you're statistically likely to blow your own head off. And I'm like, yeah, but I did.
Yeah.
And people do these transactions every single day, and they don't. It is a part of our economy, like it or not. And when people talk about making it illegal and that's going to get rid of it, drugs are illegal, and we see how hard they are to get.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we don't like something, we always try to attack it from the supply side, make it illegal, and we never go after the demand side, which is where I think we really need to be focusing on. And this is with drugs. This is with child pornography. This is with guns. This is with everything. You can raise penalties and jail time and all this stuff on guns, and that's, people have done this with drugs, and we've seen that it's only made drugs more and more and more profitable and more and more and more of an industry, and incarcerating people on drugs has just become more and more and more of an industry.
Right.
Whenever liberals are talking about, we need to start, because there are some gun laws, and right now they're talking about they're not very well enforced. Prosecutors rarely would take a case like that to trial, even when they catch somebody red-handed. Usually the police department confiscates the guns for themselves, and the person who was like selling the guns, they might get slapped with a heavy fine, or they might face probation or something. And liberals are basically saying, you need to enforce the gun laws you've got. You need to pass more laws, crack down harder on the underground economy that is guns. I just think that we're already dealing with the world's largest prison population, so there's different stats that balance each other out. On the one hand, they're like, we've got more gun deaths than any country in the world. We've got more gun crimes than any country in the world. We've got more mass shootings than any country in the world. We've got more guns, period, than any country in the world. And on the other hand, we've got the world's highest incarceration rate.
Yeah.
You pass gun laws and you're going to create more prisoners. This always happens. Every time we try to crack down on something we don't like, we just produce a new class of prisoners. Like, this is all that happens. And then the things we don't like, they never go away. There's been a war on drugs for 50 fucking years, and it's a complete failure. If you create a war on guns, which is even different than drugs, even people who use drugs, they don't think they should be on drugs. Like, nobody who's like a heroin addict is like, this is a great lifestyle choice I made.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that I got hooked on heroin. even people on crystal meth, nobody thinks that these things should be legal. But with guns, your crystal meth user, your heroin user, he's got self-loathing. Your gun owner is proud, usually.
Yeah.
Like, I was never a proud gun owner. Like, to me, it was like owning a Toyota Camry or something. I'm like, it's what I used to get to work in. It's just there. But, I mean, there are proud gun owners. There are people I know that are, I would call, gun nuts. I mean, they love their guns. And so when you start talking about a new class of something making it illegal that a significant part of the country doesn't think should be illegal at all, I mean, we see how well it works out for drugs, and I just don't see that going better for guns. I really don't.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm kind of more liberal on guns. I mean, obviously, growing up in the South, growing up in Alabama, I've been around guns, but I've never owned a gun. I've never shot a gun. I've never touched a gun. I don't find guns being something that I'm like, oh, I have to have a gun. I don't see a need in guns.
Yeah.
I understand that people buy them. I understand that we have a Second Amendment that gives you the right to buy them. I understand that, but I've never felt the need to have one.
Yeah.
For me, what it comes down to, I would be fine if all the guns in the world were taken up and melted down. I really wouldn't care. I would rather have Orlando nightclub knife fight. You know, let somebody walk into a club with a knife and try to kill 49 people.
I would like to say that the Orlando knife fights would be a hell of a basketball team. I mean, that sounds like that'd be a really cool name for like the Harlem Globetrotters of Orlando.
Yeah.
The Orlando knife fights or something.
But I mean, I don't think we're ever going to solve our gun problem unless we do what you're talking about and change the demand. Because if we pass a law banning guns today, there's no way we would ever confiscate 300 million guns. Just like, sorry, Republicans, you're not going to round up 11 million illegal immigrants and deport them.
Yeah, right.
But I think the part that frustrates us the most are some of the things that you mentioned. The fact that you can go out and buy a gun by saying, oh yeah, I'm a citizen. The fact that you can go next door and Joe Schmo can sell you a gun with no type of background check, nothing. That you can go to a gun show and you can buy a gun on the spot. That people can go out and buy AR-15s like they're nothing.
Right.
And I get what you're saying.
When you were saying they serve no purpose in our society, they're pretty much useless, I would kind of concede that point. When I had them, like I had an AR-15. I had one for a few months, and it literally sat there doing nothing. Like it was as useful as a fucking block of wood, basically. Except you can burn a block of wood for warmth.
Yeah.
Like a block of wood actually has like potential energy value, you know?
Yeah,
like you could convert that into energy by burning it. So I'm like, you could actually make something out of that block of wood. You could whittle it. You can make a mock-up AR-15 for free out of a block of wood.
Yeah.
Like it'll cost
you
nothing to make that. And AR-15 cost you $1,000. But when I had it, it was useless and it sat there. So like none of the guns I had, half of them, I didn't even fire them. Like I bought them and resold them. The other ones I might have fired once or twice. But the people who say that things like, well, guns, there's no, they're not really wrong by saying that. But at the same time, I think that way about cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
Like cigarettes have no value. People say, well, yeah, but guns, they're useless and they kill people. I'm like, yeah, so do cigarettes.
Yeah.
So there's like a lot of things that are not illegal. I mean, cigarettes kill a lot more people than guns do.
I think making that claim, somebody smoking, you're killing yourself. You're not killing someone else.
That is an interesting point because a lot of people don't ever point this statistic out, that in America, whenever they say, well, we got 33,000 gun deaths, 2/3 of those are suicides. Nobody points that out. They think every gun death in America is something like in Orlando. And I know that we say, well, the mass shootings, there was 300 of them last year. What they're classifying as mass shootings could be anything. It could be a guy killing his family. It could be anything where multiple people are killed is what they're classifying as mass shootings. Orlando was the worst mass shooting in history. The worst mass shooting in history, and 50 people died. Talk about, like, where are the gun deaths? 2/3 in America are suicides. Like, I understand what people are wanting. They're wanting to stop these mass shootings. That's what they're wanting to. They want there not to be the next Columbine or Virginia Tech or Orlando. That's really the goal, I think, is what people are really wanting to do. But when you start getting into, like, how can we cut down on suicide, gun fatalities, that's mission creep. And you're not really going to be able to do that. I mean, when we're thinking about ways to stop people from killing themselves, we can ban cigarettes. And we can ban, like, shitty foods. And we can ban race cars and things that go fast. All these things are really no purpose in society except that they're fun. People like them. Everybody's kind of got a bad habit. For a lot of liberals, it sounds ridiculous to talk about guns as a bad habit. But I'll give you another personal example. Somebody in my family, a relative, they owned a pawn shop. And they had everything. They sold jewelry. They did different stuff like that. But their real bread and butter was gun sales. Because a lot of times there'd be somebody in Alabama, people living paycheck to paycheck. They're overextended. They can't do a payday loan. They've already done a title loan. I mean, people in Alabama, some of them are so broke, it's pitiful. I mean, they're taking credit card money to pay down a title loan, a title loan to pay down a payday loan, a payday loan to pay down a credit card bill. I mean, five different sets of your ass is fucked because you owe five different sets of people.
Yeah.
And no real way to pay that back. So they would come into a pawn shop and be like, here's this gun. And it, let's say the gun should have been $300. They'd be like, all right, here's $100. They give them that $100. They go out. Then when they get a little bit of money, they come back and they buy their gun back. And they say, how much is the gun? $300. They pay $300. They come back the next time they need money, they pay it back. And they say, all right, $100. A relative did this, and they said, I've literally sold this one guy his gun back five times. The same gun. He's paid for his same gun five times because the idiot thinks it's an investment. This is poor people's idea of an investment. And I knew another guy, not related to me, thank God, but, I mean, I went to his house, and he must have had over 100 guns in his house. Like, he had an arsenal of guns. I mean, AR-15s, SKSs, 50 different kinds of handguns, revolvers, automatics, semi-automatics, an Uzi, a Tech-9. I mean, I'm talking about an arsenal. And I'm like, the guns accumulated in this house cost more than your house does. And he's talking about, I need all these guns in case somebody breaks in. If somebody breaks into my house, I can stop these people. And I'm like, you've only got two hands. Like, if they break into your house, they're going to use your spare guns to fucking kill you because you've only got two hands and you've got 50 spare guns. But the thieves are going to be like, man, we didn't bring any weapons. Get them, there's 50 guns laying around we could use to kill him with. And plus, that guy eventually got robbed for his guns. His guns were the only thing somebody wanted to steal from him. That was the only thing of value in the whole fucking house. And that was the only reason they broke in to steal those guns. It's like comical because I'm in this guy's house, and if you add up the expenses of all these guns, this is like more than his whole house because all the money he's been spending on this and like driving to different gun shows and trying to collect them. It's an obsession. It's a bad habit for some people. And that guy spent a small fortune, and that's where his paycheck's going. But then again, for me, I like food more than I should. Probably too much of my money goes into food. I know people who drink more than they should, people who smoke more than they should. And so I think there's so many bad habits. I don't really know anybody who doesn't have at least one quasi-bad habit. People can be addicted to drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, bad food, but you can be addicted to guns. Like, people call them gun nuts. They're kind of gun addicts.
Those are really great points.
So I want to run through some of the arguments that people are making for gun control. And one thing I saw a lot was Australia did it, and it was a wild success. When you go look at the law they're talking about in Australia, what the Australia law said, it was a ban on the importation of semi-automatic weapons and different types of guns and things like that.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, the word importation, that means Australia did not make their own guns.
Yeah.
And in America, it is an industry. It is Smith & Wesson. It is Lockheed Martin. It is all the way from the .22 revolver to a fucking Scud missile. We're not just the gun country, we're the weapons country.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about military industrial complex, gun complex, NRA, all the way up to Raytheon. We make missiles, we make rocket launchers, we make every type of weapon you can imagine. And these are one of the last things that are actually made in America. Back in episode 23, when we were talking about are we safer, and we were talking about why does America make weapons that we can't use, part of that is because they're made here. The Pentagon says, we don't need this new tank. And the way that defense contractors do it is they'll make the wheels in Wisconsin, they'll make the barrel in Virginia, and they make like 10 different parts in 10 different congressional districts, so that way it's employing just enough people to get support for that project from a wide coalition of congressional people. And with guns, it's a similar thing to where we still have gun plants in America. American-made guns are one of the last things people actually want to buy from America. Fashion industries have left, our textiles have left, our manufacturing has left. We still make guns, and people still want them. American-made gun is a sign of quality around the world. When you're talking about banning a specific type of gun, that's going to be awfully hard when we're the country that makes it. You go out there and you ban an AR-15, but we're making it to sell it to the Israeli military, even the Chinese military, anybody who wants to buy it, we sell it to them. If it's illegal, you're just going to have some guy who works at the plant that takes 100 of those things in a crate and throws them out the back. I mean, you're going to start seeing them leak out of the factories themselves and circulate that way. When I see people say that about the Australia gun law, Australia had such a low gun crime rate in the first place that they can only say that it lowered gun crimes. They couldn't even give an exact number because the gun crimes were so insignificant, basically, anyway. And all they could really say was that gun homicides went down by between 20 to 35%, but gun suicides went down by like 2/3 to 3/4. It kind of goes back to the question of gun suicide. Really don't think you can attack that from the supply side. We've all had dark moments, and of course, I'm sitting in an apartment that's got a gun or whatever like that, and I'm having a really bad time in my life, and there's a gun right there, and I'm thinking about it. That could easily have been me, but what people are trying to do is they're trying to take it away, like, oh, when we take the gun away, nothing's going to happen of that guy. You can't do it that way. What helped me out was sitting right there and you're thinking about, should I kill myself? Should I not kill myself? And then you start thinking about, well, let's see if there's a sign. And then you wait 5 minutes and you see if there's a sign, if there's like a bird that flies by, if the sun comes out, if somebody honks a car horn, if somebody drives by and says, fuck you, anything you can interpret as a sign. You do that, and then there's not a sign for 5 minutes, but that's your sign because you know deep down you didn't want to do it because you were looking for signs not to do it.
Yeah.
So think about it that way. If you're looking for signs not to do it, you don't want to do it, so don't do it. It's like when somebody told me, if you're making a decision, flip a coin, and when that coin's in the air, you're going to know which way you want it to land before it lands. And then you'll know what you really want to do. So if somebody's sitting there listening to this podcast, having a bad time in their life, having dark thoughts, if you're looking for a sign, that means you don't really want to do it. And that is your sign. So take it that way. That's worked for me before and stuff. Somebody could have taken that gun away. but you still get a drawer full of knives. I know what people are saying, where it's like something like Orlando, that wouldn't have happened if there hadn't have been assault rifles. But gun suicide is not going to stop because you don't have a gun.
Yeah.
Again, we're the country with the drug problem. Right now, we've seen suicides in terms of overdoses and opiates and painkillers go through the roof. I mean, a lot of cities we've seen, I know this is a Republican talking point. They use this all the time, which is kind of a canard. They say, well, Chicago has really tough gun laws, and they have the worst violent crime rate in America. And that's a Republican talking point. And I know that that's a little disingenuous because, like, liberals who live in Chicago, they'd say, yeah, but that's because people are bringing guns from Indiana, and they're bringing guns from different surrounding states, basically, to Chicago to sell. And then the liberals in Chicago will be like, well, we got to get them to quit selling guns in Missouri and Indiana and these places so that they don't come to Chicago. You start setting Republicans up into the state's rights argument, and it just opens this can of worms that is, they'll say there is a Second Amendment, guns are legal, and we are a state, and we want them to be legal. And even if you ban them in California, to ban them for us to sell in Arizona so that they might not wind up in California, they're just not going to go along with that.
Yeah.
People used to say things with gun control, and I used to be a little bit more on the page of the gun control people until I started to see, because like the 1994 crime bill, that was the most significant piece of gun legislation in my lifetime. Bill Clinton had an assault weapons ban in that law. It cost the Democrats their seats, and it cost the Democratic Congress. It almost cost Bill Clinton his second term. They really don't give the Clintons credit for that. The Clintons deserve a lot of credit for trying to do that. But here's what I see with the 1994 crime bill. Even though the assault weapons ban was what they really wanted, it cost Democrats their seats in Congress. It almost cost Bill Clinton his presidency. It kind of started the narrative that Hillary, people don't like her and things like this. And it also, and I hate saying this, it didn't really work because you had the assault weapons ban and Columbine still happened. We grew up in that era of Columbine and like all these high school shootings. I mean, we were in school when this happened. Yeah. You remember that? It was like a switch flip.
Yeah.
Like 2001, they had the 9/11 went down and all the police departments went out and were like, we need to post up for the terrorists. And they had the war on terror. Well, Columbine and all these school shootings, that started the zero tolerance that you see in school. And I mean, I remember like the day after Columbine, they were like, we got this new thing at your school where you need to take in your shirt. I mean, it was shit that had nothing to do with anything, but it was kind of stuff that they wanted to do anyway.
Tuck in your shirt, clear backpack, no jacket.
I remember in high school, I had a trench coat. People about shit a brick. I would be wearing this trench coat or whatever, you know, and it'd be the winter time, but it was like, oh my God, is he in the trench coat mafia?
Yeah,
have you seen The Matrix too many times? Those Columbine kids saw The Matrix, and it's what ruined them.
Yeah.
And I mean, it started this paranoia about school shooters and things like this, and it was like that whole era. And that was during the assault weapons ban. Like, that was during the 1994 crime bill that did crack down on guns a little bit. And Bill Clinton, I think most people would say, was a little bit tougher on guns than Obama is. And you still have this wave of mass shootings in American high schools. And you still have the Oklahoma City bombing the year after that, which Republicans, they use that at the time as a talking point. Whenever they say, well, if you get rid of guns, you get rid of the crime, they'll say, well, Timothy McVeigh, he still had a fertilizer truck. Or Osama bin Laden, he still had airplanes. Or the Boston bombers, they still had their homemade bombs. The Orlando shooter, it might not have been as easy for him to kill 50 people, but he could have made a bomb and killed 10, and a bomb would have been more frightening to people because they're not used to it. We have to kind of get into this. You still had these violent crimes, and there's never really been a gun control law in America that's been passed that's been proven effective. What you really have to get at is angry young men, and that's what we're kind of trying our best to avoid. When it, like the guy who shot up the Aurora Theater in Colorado, who was a nutcase, who thought he was the Joker and shit, and the Columbine kids, and the Virginia Tech shooter, and the Orlando nightclub shooter, and only a couple weeks ago there was a UCLA shooter, and then last fall there was the San Bernardino shooter. If it's a Muslim, people talk about Islam. If it's a white guy, then Democrats talk about guns and gun control. You got to get it angry young men, because that's the profile for a mass shooter. Never the FBI profilers say, here's what a serial killer looks like. When they talk about a mass shooter, it's almost always a guy who's somewhere between 15 and 30, sometimes a little bit older than that. Usually always somebody who's a man, and usually somebody who's not terribly good with women, if you really boil it down.
You mean it's not the captain of the cheerleading squad in high school?
Yeah. A lot of the school shooters, you didn't really see them as like, damn, I'm just getting too much pussy. I need to shoot somebody. There wasn't like a big sense that these were guys who were getting laid a lot. There's that certain type of profile whenever people are talking about, we need to get rid of guns, or we need to outlaw Muslims, or we need to, it kind of doesn't matter. If they're Muslim, they can lean back on their faith. If they're like a white kid, they can lean back back on. The Aurora shooter, his ideology was the Joker.
Yeah.
So when it's a white guy, it's like, oh, they're just crazy. And then when it's a Muslim guy, it's like, oh, they're Muslim. The connective tissue is just that there's a certain kind of guy that's young and he feels like out of place in society. If you're Muslim, the religion will provide an outlet for that because you can take a time machine back to the days of the Prophet Muhammad and you can kind of take a mental time machine back to a clearer, simpler time and romanticize that time period and think we should live in that time period now. And then if you don't have any of that and you're like a white kid or whatever, you might romanticize, as the Columbine shooters did, neo-Nazis, you might romanticize anarchy, you might romanticize whatever you can grab a hold of. It's like whatever stray ideology you can reach and grab for and pull into you. I mean, when you're romanticizing comic book villains, to me that shows you're just desperate to basically like rope in some type of ideology into the attacks and try to make it meaningful and get to anything. It still falls back into this personality type that just doesn't really feel comfortable in contemporary society, and it just doesn't fit in, and it's not going to fit in. You have to think about how do you fix that type of person, because that's how you're going to fix really all the violence that we're talking about, the terrorism conversation, the mass shooting conversation, all these different things. How do you pull that kind of person more into contemporary society than they are?
I mean, that's almost impossible to answer. I think you can't really answer that question without going into the argument about education. I don't think you have that argument without looking at mental health in this country. There's so many factors that you have to kind of tie into that.
When they had the recession, you might have heard some people call it a man session, because the industries that were really getting hammered and really getting laid off, it was typically industries that men worked in, and they were getting the first ones laid off and then the last ones to come back to work. The mass killings and the shootings and the male violence, that did start during the recession. But I think when people are talking about the number of mass shootings that have gone up, I do think that there is a certain kind of guy that is feeling more and more and more like he doesn't have a place in contemporary society.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we've seen people travel all over the globe to join ISIS. ISIS is a group of foreign fighters. It's like a roach motel for the world's shittiest people that are like flying all around the world to join it.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people have converted to Islam just to join ISIS, because it's drawing in people that have nothing and they're just enraged about this. I think that there's just the type of person that they just don't fit in anymore. When you think about how to incorporate them, like you're saying, educational opportunities could get better. Jobs could get better for them. Economics could get better for them. Mental health. But I still think it comes down to their mismatch with society. People are not going to like this. They're not going to like this, what I'm about to say. But the question is not to make guns illegal, but make prostitution legal. These guys that I'm talking about, they are fucking terrible with women. It almost always comes down to a guy who could not get laid if his life depended on it. When people say, well, you don't see this thing in Europe, and I'm like, yeah, what's Europe got? Legalized prostitution.
So what you're saying is, if we legalize prostitution, Bernie Sanders wouldn't be in the race anymore.
Well, his fans would have something better to do than spam my goddamn Twitter feed. I know that much. It's funny because what I just said about the mass shooter profile, young, alone, male, nothing better to do, pretty much jobless or underemployed. I'm like, oh, wait, I just described Bernie's fans. This is like basically his bread and butter. There's a Deadpool for his profile pic on Twitter or Facebook or something, the Deadpool character, or like some kind of Marvel character. He's really violent, probably got a gun in their face. I have the Bernie fans who were asking me on Twitter. They had literal profile pictures of like a cartoon cowboy with a gun in their hand or something. There was some kind of implied violent threat.
Yeah.
And it was interesting that Bernie was not quite as liberal on guns as Hillary was. Hillary was a bit more freaked out by guns than Bernie was. It's interesting that there are a lot of Republicans that are actually pro-gun control. I'll be honest, the reason I think people obsess about this that are pretty well off and wealthy is because it's an issue that can affect them, because they could get shot one day in a mass shooting or something like that. If you're rich or whatever, you can buy a bottled water. You can avoid the corroded pipes of Flint, Michigan. You can avoid the traces of lead. You can avoid contaminated meat that they sell at McDonald's. You're avoiding all these other pitfalls. And the reason that a lot of liberals have really focused on gun control and really seem to care about that is it's because the danger of the everyday world, it could touch you. Like, I really think people need to hear what I'm saying, because there's a lot of liberals that I've met in New York and L.A., and they are so detached from, like, people's everyday struggles. And I know that even saying that, they roll their eyes, but their problems are not the same. They're just not the same set of problems. I was listening to somebody complain and be like, yeah, there's just the stereotypes people have about Asian comedians. Well, yeah, but that's not really a problem in Alabama where people are like, how am I going to pay my rent?
Yeah.
Different set of problems. And people are feeling so detached from that. People that kind of get freaked out about guns, they're like, oh, this could touch me. I could get killed in one of these mass shootings or something could happen, or they could reach out to powers that be, like, they could be reached out and touched by gun violence.
Yeah.
I think that's why you've seen a lot of people that are really well off. They're like, oh, maybe it wouldn't be such a bad idea to take guns away. It would protect us in a way that we don't really care about protecting the people of Flint, Michigan by saving their tap water. Or we don't really care about people in Alabama having water, like rural Alabama parts of it don't even have drinking water. Hey, when I see these people being like, well, we have to protect people by taking these guns away, and I'm like, well, you don't really want to protect them by giving them a better standard of living.
Yeah.
That's not really your focus. You don't really want the mass shootings to go away because people are now happier and they're employed and they have jobs and they fit into society and they can meet somebody and they can go out, and you don't really want to make their lives better in that way. You just want to take their guns away. So they're still miserable.
Yeah.
It's just that they don't have any guns. People talk about we got the highest prison population in the world, and we do. But it's interesting that at the moment we're talking about legalizing marijuana and that that might cut into the Corrections Corporation of America and the private prisons. Their bottom line is going to be hurt by all these nonviolent drug offenders basically not going to prison anymore. They're like, oh, what's our next big thing? Guns. Let's get to gun sellers and see if we can fill the jails with them. I feel like it's one of those things that doesn't really make sense where liberals are like, we got way too many people in jail, and then in the next breath, we got to make more guns illegal, and we got to put people in jail for owning these guns. And I understand the counter-argument. Guns are not safe. An AR-15, it's dangerous, and you can kill a lot of people with it. And I used to think it would be good to at least restrict some of these really high-powered rifles and things like that, but then I started watching these YouTube videos where you see a 12-year-old 3D print a plastic gun. The whole gun control argument is kind of happening in a bubble at the same time that 3D printers are being used to make plastic guns. This is really scary. In 25, 30 years, we're going to be begging people to buy the AR-15s that are metal with serial numbers that we can track instead of 3D printing the plastic models of those guns.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we really ought to be afraid of. When people talk about gun control and cracking down, I'm like, the idea that any teenager in America could have a 3D printer and print a plastic gun that a metal detector can't pick up or that looks like a toy gun, and it works and it can kill somebody, this is what should scare you. And most of these guns can get past airport security. Right after 9/11, then they did the war on terror, and now we've got it to where the last few times I've been on a plane, I feel like they practically gave me a colonoscopy, pat-downs and scanners and stuff like that. And yet when they did the TSA check, where they put all those contraband items through, 75% of contraband items still made it through TSA. We can't have a bottle of shampoo or toothpaste, been on a plane, and they've been like, oh, you have to dump out that water. But I just imagine it. They're like, we got this guy's shampoo, and then on the scanner right behind him, a fucking gun's getting past TSA. On the scanner, there's like an oxygen bomb getting through the scanners. There's that quote Thomas Jefferson had, people who will give up a little bit of freedom for a little bit of safety will often get neither.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we've seen. I mean, the airports are a nightmare. People forget, only 40 years ago, there weren't even metal detectors. Before you get on an airplane. Back in the 70s, they had all these airplane hijackings and stuff. It was like an airplane hijacking every week. Every week, there would be somebody who got on an airplane and said, take me to Cuba. Go to Havana or whatever. Airplane hijackings happen all the time. And then they started doing a metal detector. And somehow, in 40 years, we've gone from a metal detector to an airport security that feels completely draconian. You get there, the TSA guy's sitting there, and he hates you because he's never been anywhere. Half the people who work in an airport, they've never been outside a mile radius of that airport. Like, they live there, they're total townies. They've never been outside that city in their lives, and they hate you. Like, oh, going to Las Vegas, huh? Well, let's see if you make your plane after I make you wait in security for 3 hours. All right, buddy, get in the interrogation room. I mean, they're jealous that somebody's going somewhere. But while they're harassing you, giving you the full body scanner that could be cancerous, we don't know, but they're giving you the full body scanner. They're checking your bone density. People are giving me that hand swab test. They swab your hands to see if there's any chemicals on them or whatever. 75% of contraband's getting through the security somehow.
Yeah, which is terrifying to think about.
It is. The only reason we've not had more post 9/11 plane disasters is just luck.
Yeah.
Terrorists, they're not very smart. But I know a lot of people are like, oh, you can never underestimate your enemy. And I'm like, really? Even the Times Square guy who locked himself out of his suicide bomb? I mean, like the Times Square bomber locked himself out of the suicide bomb. The Nigerian guy, the underwear bomber, he lit his fucking dick off. I mean, he's like his pants caught on fire. I can just imagine some guy being like, I'll see you all in hell. And then his crotch like burst into flames and he's screaming, running up and down the cabin, being like, ah! And he's just like screaming as his balls melt off. Typically, these guys are not really that great. And I think we're going to find out that Orlando Shooter was gay. He specifically just had to take out a gay nightclub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that
you know, ISIS would be like, why don't you attack Disney World? No, it's going to be a gay nightclub. That I've been to 50 times. I've just been, like, I think he just went there a bunch of times. They're like, are you ever going to pull the, yes, I'll do that attack one day. But first, I need to get a bunch of phone numbers and see what's going on. I need to hang out with these guys more and more. You're a very deep cover. You've been going to this club for 6 months. They said he went to that club many times before he pulled that attack. He might go there once to stake it out. Why do you need to go 20 times? I think he went there, and he liked going there. And he kind of liked being there, and it freaked him out.
Yeah, either that or he got rejected one too many times, and he finally got enough of it.
It kind of goes back to guys who are being rejected by modern society. Yeah. Like the guy who showed up at the Aurora Theater in Colorado, he probably asked a girl, he's like, hey, you want to go see the new Batman movie? She's like, no, I'm going with my boyfriend. He's like, huh, boyfriend, huh? We'll see about that. We're saying it like we're joking, but rejection plays a huge, huge part. These people's lives. I'm sure the Columbine shooters ask out the cheerleaders 50 times. We all know those guys in high school that really give you the creeps, but they somehow think, oh, the head cheerleader, once she gets my tapestry made out of her hair, she's going to love this handcrafted pillow that I made from her fingernail clippings I dug out of the trash. And she's like, you scared the shit out of me. Stay away. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll bring my gun tomorrow. It boils down to rejection and fear and loathing and people just being out of place. And I think there's something that's slowly making a lot of young men in America very angry. Instead of just jumping to the conclusion of, sir, this guy, he only did this because he was able to get a hold of a gun, which is just not really true. I don't think the type of gun that the Orlando shooter used made any, even if they outlawed AR-15s, he could have bought an SKS. There's other types of assault rifles. I mean, even if they outlawed all assault rifles, there's double barrel shotguns, there's street sweepers, there's Tech Nines, there's Uzis. I mean, there's still going to be other types of things. And I think there needs to be some type of deeper conversation of why are these guys angry? Why are they snapping? Why do they not fit in? Biggest problem is that whenever I even pose that question, like if I pose that question in a hipster haven in L.A. or Williamsburg, Brooklyn or something like that, who fucking cares? They're losers. Let's go get froyo.
Yeah.
It's just like, they don't care. They're going to go get frozen yogurt, mm-hmm. or they're going to go bowling at a neon bowling alley where they're served shots, or they're going to go to an all-you-can-drink whiskey bar where the bartender's got a handlebar mustache or some shit. They're living in like a different planet of people who are suffering, and they really don't care about these people at all. And I think that you ignore that at your own peril. I think when people are telling you something loudly and violently and over and over and over again, and it just comes down to, well, we'll just get rid of the guns and we'll be fine, I think that you're taking the wrong message from that, and you need to think about what you can do to make people less angry. And they say Europe, they have less gun crime because there's less guns, and I also think it's the European attitude. I think you have less stress. I think you work less hours a week. Things are cheaper. You work less hours. You have more vacation time. There's less stress. People are not about to snap because they're afraid they're going to lose their job or these different things.
You're not going to lose your house if we're going to the doctor.
Yeah. And people can afford mental health treatment. When people talk about health care being too expensive, mental health care is too expensive.
Yeah.
And then somebody who's having mental problems, they may go into a psychiatrist. They'd be like, here, take these. It's some new fly-by-night like mental health drug that the pharmaceutical sales rep at Pfizer is like, I'll blow you if you write this prescription. Here, take this.
Yeah.
So there's like the pharmaceutical sales rep going around basically telling a doctor, being like, oh, I'll give you a cruise to Bermuda if you sign this prescription. And they're like, oh, sold. So here you go. Here's rat poison mixed with Zoloft. It's our new drug that we're going to give you for your mental health problems. And then they take it and they don't get any better, or they feel numb, or it causes problems. I mean, there's been stories of on the news people that took like a sleeping pill and they wind up stabbing their spouse to death. When you see the TV commercials and like side effects may include homicide, I think that's a pretty big red flag. An antidepressant, if the side effect is that you might kill somebody, I think that needs to be evaluated. But the European lifestyle produces people that are less stressed out, and as much as liberals really cringe whenever I bring up legalized prostitution or whatever, I mean, they really cringe when I bring that up, and I just like, well, you're talking about legalized marijuana, you're talking about legalized poker, because Harry Reid and a lot of the Democrats want computerized gaming, which they should do. You should be transgendered, you should be able to use whatever bathroom you want, you should be able to buy a gun, you should be able to smoke weed, and you should be able to go to a cat house across the street.
Exactly.
That's what you should be able to do.
I think the one thing that we can both agree with, the argument against or for guns is much deeper than just banning guns, but I think the glorification of guns that a lot of people, a lot of Republicans have started is just, come on. I think for me, like I said, I'm kind of like really couldn't care less about guns. I have no connection to them. If everybody had a gun, I'd be fine with it. If nobody had a gun, I'd certainly be fine with it. But I think the glorification of guns by so many on the right is kind of what pushes a lot of liberals far to the left. Like you, I don't ever talk about guns. But, you know, I never write about them. I never write any blogs about them. Because, like you said, there's plenty on the left that talk about it far, where they take up the issue. And it's not something that I really want to consume my time with, because we're never going to be able to ban guns.
Right. Well, you made a brilliant point. Conservatives are not going to get 11 million people deported without bankruptcy in America, and liberals are not going to get 300 million. When you talk about that buyback program in Australia, if you tried to buy back 300 million guns in America, we'd be fucking bankrupt.
We'd go bankrupt. Like
we would be bankrupt. 300 million multiplied by an average of probably between $400 and $500 a gun. And then liberals always say, we wouldn't buy them back. The cops would just take them. And I'm like, let's see how well that fucking shit goes over. You go knock on Bubba's house and say, hey, give me your guns. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, liberals have made the argument that, like, deporting 11 million illegals, not only is it extremely expensive, it would basically create civil unrest, because you got cops going door to door and basically rounding up the Amaras and the Jose's and, like, basically trying to profile neighborhoods to the extent that you're rounding people up and sending them out. You're going to create violence. You're going to create civil unrest. It's going to basically create a shitstorm between the police and the citizens of these neighborhoods. You think that wouldn't happen with guns? If you really seriously try to, like, go and take people's guns out of their house and do that, you're creating a class of criminals. You're talking about you want to stop criminals from getting guns. You're creating criminals by doing that.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm coming from. But even though it's my most conservative issue, it would still never get me to vote Republican. Like, when they say Obama's going to take your guns or whatever, I'm like, well, that would be unfortunate, but I'm still going to vote for him. It's not even in my top 100, but if you had President John Oliver or, like, Vice President Samantha Bee or actual liberals going around basically putting forth a policy that creates bankruptcy by America of buying back guns or just flat out taking people's property.
Yeah.
By the way, we're never going to do that, so shut the fuck up about it. Because, like, me even saying that scenario, we're never going to do it, and we're never even going to try to do that. And even just floating that idea out there, like me floating that idea out there, the one conservative that listens to this podcast, the one Republican guy, is like, I knew it.
Yeah.
He's making a beeline to the fucking pawn shop to go buy assault rifles right now. Even if they're closed or whatever, he's going to go there and camp and be like, I don't want to miss out on tomorrow's gun rush sale. I know gun sellers. Every time Obama would even give a speech about gun control, they'd see a line of people out the door. But since Obama's been president, stock in the gun companies has gone up. If you bought stock in a gun company, you've made money since he's been president.
Yeah, yeah.
Because whenever you even talk about gun control, people run out and buy guns like nobody's business, because this is where the debate is. We're talking about potentially stopping people on the terrorist watch list from buying AR-15, and they still can't get it done. And just the idea of getting it done, if they pass that bill between now and even if it went into effect a month from now, you'd have everybody on that freaking list going and buying an AR-15. They'd already have one sitting at their house between now and when that bill went into effect. So to me, it's like, can we liberals shut the fuck up about this? Because it's costing purple and red state liberals their seats. Any Democrat in Alabama has lost their seat because of this one issue. It flipped the Congress between Bill Clinton when he had a Democratic Congress to when he had goddamn Gingrich to put up with for 6 years. It flipped the Congress on him. Somewhat similar thing for Obama. It flipped his Congress. I mean, you're talking about, this is one thing Republicans can use. When we get into our GIA trilogy, guns, immigration, abortion, they've got to play those up. Because Republicans can't go out on the campaign trail and say, and I believe a billionaire should not pay any taxes. They can't say that and get a round of applause. They can't fool people with that stuff. They can't really play up the economics. They talk about taxes in general terms, and because most Americans don't even know how much taxes they pay, half the people will be given, like, yeah, no taxes. They don't even pay federal taxes. They clap for it anyway because they don't know what they actually pay in taxes, because economics is confusing. But guns are not. Guns are very simple, right? You put the clip in, pull back.
Bang, bang.
Liberals over there being like, I don't know if I can defend my family with this gun. What if the shooter doesn't? And the Republicans are like, bang, it's over with. It's like, yeah, it's done. They're deliberately very simple. I've known people that have run for office in Alabama, but they've been running on like lottery platform, like getting the lottery to Alabama or what to do about the school systems. But everywhere they go, they get asked about immigration, Mexicans specifically, and guns. Yeah. I know people that ran for like road commissioner. What do you think about the Second Amendment? I like it. I mean, but they get asked about guns and immigration.
Yeah.
I don't mean like the sheriff or somebody where it might actually have something to do with their job. I mean like I'm running for superintendent. And what do you think about guns? Because we need to know before we do any kind of voting for you or not. The guy's running for dog catcher. I believe we should shoot these stray dogs. He's got my vote. I'm for this guy right here. Why are we wasting money on all this expensive gas? We got bullets that are practically free out here.
Exactly.
When you watch Amy Schumer or something, and she's like, we're just talking about common sense. Where Republicans take umbrage or why they don't go along with what they call common sense, I think they know that somebody like Amy Schumer, if she could, probably would get rid of guns, if she could.
Yeah.
It's like whenever Republicans, like, we just want common sense reform about abortion. I don't trust them. Whenever they're passing these abortion things, it's always to limit abortion. It's always get rid of a clinic, shut a clinic down. When they were doing all this in Alabama about wanting the abortion clinics to basically have the highest qualified doctors, the cleanest waiting rooms, nurses with an unblemished record. And they're like, well, we just want what's best for the mother. We're just trying to make abortion safer. It all came from a place of limiting abortion. And people knew that. They knew it was bogus.
Yeah.
They knew that it was the backdoor way to get rid of abortion. The way I don't trust a Republican when they come up with a bill that supposedly makes abortion safer, common sense gun control advocates, they seem like they're coming from a good place. Gun people reject it because they know deep down they don't believe in guns and they don't want people to have guns. And they know that like any measure would just limit them in some way. Even when people say things like, well, we think you ought to be able to pass a psychological screening to buy a gun, some gun nuts may not be able to pass that. The guy I do, went in his closet, pulled out a shotgun and said, this is Betsy, the only woman I trust. I'm like, well, it's getting half past dark. I think I might need to be getting on home. Back of my mind, I'm thinking, he's not going to get less crazy as the night keeps going, so let me just get the fuck out of here. But gun nuts, quite frankly, probably couldn't pass the type of mental health that they're talking about. It's not always because they're dangerous. If you really did a lot of the things liberals are talking about, it's all just backdoor ways to basically limit access to guns. Gun nuts, the reason that they go crazy about it is because they know it's bad faith. They know they're not on the same team. All we want to do is stop a guy who passed a bad check at Whole Foods from being able to buy a gun. It's perfectly reasonable. It's like, wait a minute. I think I'm picking up on a theme here. Anyway, Michael, what's your web address for us?
BlueInAlabama.wordpress.com.
Of course, you can find me at Alabama Liberal. And if we lost you in this episode, we hope to bring you back in the next one when we talk about immigration, and then really bring you back when we get to abortion. But anyway, hopefully it's been a good conversation for you guys. Thanks for listening, everybody.